This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Roshan. 7:20 a.m, Wednesday, the 1st of July. And in about half an hour, we're going to be speaking with Professor Mahendra Nair, economics professor at Monash University, on consumer spending. Now, we're also running a poll on the subject on the BFM Twitter account. That's at BFM Radio, asking you, compared with pre-MCO, how much has your spending dropped? Is it 25%? Is it 50%? Is it 75%? Or has it not changed at all? We've had 70 votes so far, and one comment, which I identify with strongly. Jackal says, stop, shopped and spent more on Lazada and Shopee, coupled with a crying emoji. I feel you, Jackal. I'm also in the same boat, but do continue to let us know what you think. Right now, though, we're taking a look at the fact that structural gaps have been exposed in our economy as the impact of COVID-19 unfolded. The government has responded with various short-term measures, but these initiatives have mainly been government-led, focused on the short to medium term, particularly liquidity issues. But realistically, I mean, there's only so much the government can do.
Yeah, so in the longer term, ICMR, which is the Institute of Capital Market Research Malaysia, thinks that the capital markets can play a bigger role in addressing these concerns. And hopefully, I think the goal being building a more resilient economy post-COVID-19. Now, just for those who aren't familiar, ICMR is an independent research institute commissioned by the Securities Commission of Malaysia to promote the sustainable development of the Malaysian capital market.
So for more on this morning we speak with Datin Azlin Osman Rani, Director of ICMR, the Institute of Capital Markets Research Malaysia. Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Datin. Now, COVID-19 has brought with it unprecedented negative impacts to various sectors. And in response, the government and the central bank have pushed to make liquidity readily available. But the question here now is, what are the limitations of such measures in a situation like this?
Firstly, I think government intervention is critical during this period. And of course, the utmost priority is in managing the health crisis and minimizing the economic and social dislocations from this pandemic. But given the unprecedented nature of this crisis, there will clearly be not limitations so much, but challenges for all policymakers. So one of the challenges I see is from a time frame perspective. So if there is a mismatch between how prolonged the impact of the pandemic is in relation to the amount or duration of the supportive measures and how long they can be sustained, then there is a risk. And hence, there will be a need to provide measures which are both scalable and also adaptable as the situation unfolds. The other challenge I see is really from the psychological aspects, meaning that it is increasingly being shown that the pandemic is going to impact us on a more psychological level. So how this transforms into the broader economy or broader picture is really, while there may be policy responses to increase liquidity, to enhance credit availability, how this funnels into the real economy in terms of spending is also critically dependent on the level of confidence of consumers, of investors, and also corporations. So it may warrant us to study a little bit more of how behaviors would change because of COVID-19 and how this may impact policies in the future.
Now, speaking of behaviours, a consequence of COVID-19 has been the rise of digitalisation. And ICMR's report does highlight the need to accelerate that rate of digital adoption. However, I guess the question here is, does Malaysia currently have the mechanisms to channel capital effectively into this development?
Well, clearly COVID-19 has accelerated the pace of technological adoption, even though this was a structural underlying trend which had pre-existed before COVID-19. But in terms of addressing mechanisms to accelerate the digital adoption, I think it's important to look at it both from the technological aspects as well as the digital talent aspects, as they are critically interrelated. So from a policy development perspective, we've made great strides in terms of fostering and promoting technological innovation in financial and market applications. But when we take this down to a more granular level and look at digital adoption rates across the value chain from the incumbent financial players, the levels of digital adoption, of course, are not even and broad-based. There's really a mixed track record. So ICMR conducted a proprietary survey based on our research on the asset management industry last year. And although 89% of the asset managers envisaged that technology would highly impact their business growth in the next 12 months, only 9% actually indicated that they were exploring the use of artificial intelligence and data analytics in their current applications. Now, compare this to the trends of automation in capital markets already being seen at a global level, where automation is already seen in various types of applications, from machine learning to develop deep customer insights, blockchain technologies to enhance data transparency, AI to enhance pricing decisions, to things like quantamental investing as a new buy-side trend. So in the report, one of the recommendations was a proposal to look into an industry partnership incentive as a co-investment structure to accelerate the digital adoption rates between financial institutions and as well as fintechs, but also other startups. And this would be pretty much in line with the Penjana program to encourage an online-centric shift through public-private matching grants.
Now, the pandemic has brought forward the need for more supporting infrastructure, and the capital market could play an important role in organising funding here. So what could this look like going forward? What's going to change?
You're right that the pandemic has highlighted the need for more robust physical and social infrastructure support across various sectors, especially those that provide essential services. I think infrastructure financing is a critical area where Malaysia's capital markets can play an integral role to ensure there's adequate funding facilities, especially if you take into account the context in the context of Islamic finance. In addition, I think we also have to look at possible adaptations of the PPP model, especially as PPP starts to take on newer shapes in the digital economy. So we would also need to broaden our understanding of what PPP means for the 21st century. For instance, a newer PPP model could increasingly evolve towards a more platform-based model as data becomes a more prominent asset for both the public and private sectors, with, of course, complemented by greater transparency and a stronger governance model. In terms of moving forward and how the landscape will be different, and I think it also relates back to digitalization and where data plays a more critical role, I think big data combined with behavioral insights will play a more critical role in infrastructure financing as well, and also in terms of sustainable infrastructure.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Datin. And that was Datin Azlin Osman Rani, Director of the Institute of Capital Markets Research Malaysia, better known as ICMR, touching at the end there on the importance of infrastructure and developing more robust physical as well as social infrastructures in order to really support the industry across various sectors as we kind of try to weather and ride out the wave of these uncertain times.
Yeah, I think the big question here is that the government can only keep funding things and ensuring liquidity for so long. How are private corporations going to get involved? Where's the investment going to come from? We keep talking about the accelerated digital adoption, but the fact is there's a big swath of this country that isn't prepared for it. The cities maybe, mm-hmm. but even within the cities, we have urban poor who don't have access to this. I know people who do work with areas like Sunway Matari. They don't even have, these are families of four or five who share one laptop and they had to go to school online. I know MDEC is trying to do some work here, but it's still a big gap that needs to be addressed.
And you spoke to MDEC's CEO, Serena Shukri, very recently on The Breakfast Grill, Roshan. And if you want to listen to that conversation where Roshan and Serena spoke about exactly this, digitalization and the development of the digital infrastructure, you can find it on the BFM app as well as on Spotify. But right now, we are heading into the 7:30 News Bulletin. And up next, we're talking about Joe Biden's VP pick with Robert Shapiro, Professor of Government at Columbia University. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.